everybody. It's me, El Topo, here, and I am coming at you solo today, unfortunately. My cohorts, Mr. Goggs and Mr. Vinny, could not be here this week because they are real friends, unlike me, who am a fake friend. I am a fake friend to them because they don't take me on lovely vacations because they are, I was going to say secretly ashamed of me, but let's be honest, there's no secret. So I wanted to give you guys a little something for the week. If I could just, microphone on my laptop doesn't seem to work. It's actually a loaner laptop from Vinny, so I am doing this podcast in the most archaic way possible. I'm actually right now talking into my digital camera, and then I'm going to edit the audio together using Reaper, so hopefully there won't be any hiccups, but God only knows how much actual time I'll have on the digital camera. First and foremost, the majority of this show is going to be, I was really lazy today. I was over at the outhouse, you know, my favorite place that I usually love to hang out during the day, and that, of course, is www.theouthousers.com. And I started a thread that said, I'm too lazy to do my show prep for today, so I want you, the faithful listeners, to give me topics that you want me to riff on. I figured since Goggs and Vinny weren't around to give me their input on what they wanted me to talk about, I figured who'd better to tell me what to talk about than you, our faithful listeners. And first off on the docket is Outhouse correspondent Thunderstorm, and he asked, rape versus murder, which is worse? That is a good question, Thunderstorm. I would say that rape is worse than murder because you still have to live with rape. Now on to lighter topics. I don't know, they're both bad. I mean, it's like picking your awful, awful poison. I mean, you know, I don't want to have either happen to me, if that helps anything. I don't want to be raped or murdered. I guess like the third option would be to be murdered then raped. Or maybe raped, then murdered? I don't know. But they're both really, really bad. But next question. Or topic, I should say. They're not really questions. Outhouse correspondent Bender Brow. One of my favorites. Even though he was giving me crap because he said I was wrong about the writers of the new shitty movie Vampire Sucks. I said that the people that wrote Scary Movie should stop making movies. He insinuated that I was incorrect, but in fact the two people that wrote Vampire Sucks also wrote or co-wrote Scary Movie. So three people are now they have no idea what I'm talking about. Internet message board drama, you gotta love it. So anyway, Bender Brow asks, why does no one think their own farts stink? Is that true? I think that maybe they know that they stink, but a lot of people are very, you know, they're very defensive about smelling particularly foul. Myself, on the other hand, I am very proud when my batch gets to be to a point where it's almost like a dangerous weapon. You know, the worst is when you wake up and you wake up out of a dead sleep to the smell of your own ass. I mean, haven't we all been there? It's sort of like, you know, drinking coffee, and it's sort of like getting punched in the face. But I think the phrase would be the people think their shit don't stink, but I think they all know that their farts stink. I could be wrong. But anyway, let's move along. Outhouse correspondent Keb, African American outhouse correspondent Keb, I should preface. He wants me to talk about the lack of black people in Scott Pilgrim. I love the movie, and that's why I love the movie, because of the lack of black people. Scott Pilgrim is a nerd's fantasy, and it's also a whitetopia, and, you know, I think that really speaks for itself. Most movies with lots of black people aren't very good. And that's not my fault for being racist. That's black people's fault for making bad movies. New Jack City was good. That other one was good. Madea, like, goes to camp. That was good, right? That was good. So yeah, there was really no black people in Scott Pilgrim, and that's probably why it was such a good movie. There wasn't any scene where, like, a black guy was like, "Damn, Scott Pilgrim, you gonna bang Ramona!" And people won. And I wonder why people call me racist. I'm not, by the way. I don't think. Jude Terror wanted me to comment on this video, and I will play the audio. Hopefully it comes out. Let's see. It's called Tragedy, and it's an all-metal tribute to the Bee Gees. Let's see how this goes. Alright, it's really bad, obviously. Just to kind of put you guys in the scene, it's a bunch of guys that look like rejects from Whitesnake, and they're doing all the you know, the typical heavy metal things. You know, they all have their flying V's and their you know, tight pants, and this guy has maracas, and I don't even know. This is. Pretty awful. Guy's got the falsetto. You gotta give him that. Alright, that's enough of that. I think you get the idea. You know, they say that's an all-metal tribute to the Bee Gees, but that's not very metal. The guy did have a sparkly flying V. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that is very metal. The thing, I only played 59 seconds of it, mainly because I have no idea how much of this you can actually hear. So we're just going to leave it at, there's another 7 minutes to go. Tragedy, you know, an ironic name for an ironic band, I suppose, but the Bee Gees will always suck. And, you know, metal music covering it will not help. The Bee Gees not suck anymore. Outhouse correspondent Thunderstorm asks, why is Obama, I guess he means Barry Obama, Mr. Barack Obama, our president of these United States, he asked, why is Obama so Muslim-y? It's because he's a terrorist. How about that? And apparently, if you listen to the show last week, he deserves to be impeached. Why? I have absolutely no idea. But the reason he's so Muslim-y is because, one, he's a terrorist, and two, he has chocolate-covered skin. And obviously, white people are scared of that, and that means he's Muslim. He also constantly praises Allah. I mean, you can't turn on CNN without Obama constantly going, you know, Hara Hasim Jalad, you know, something like that. You know how it goes. You watch Team America. Let's see here. Bender Brow again asks, and this is a comic book question, will Astonishing X-Men actually come out this month? And, of course, the answer is no. Why would it? Astonishing X-Men has been late from the beginning when Josh Whedon was writing it, and why wouldn't it be late right up until now when Warren Ellis is writing it? So, no, it will not come out this month. However, I don't know, I was going to make a gay joke, but that's kind of overdone. Like, he's not, this isn't coming out, but this is coming out. That's kind of lame. So I'm not going to make that joke. Alright, moving right along. Let's see here. Outhouse correspondent Timberoo would like to know, he wanted me to talk about the lack of white people in the lottery ticket. I have no idea what that is. I'm going to assume it's one of the Tyler Perry movies, so it's basically because, how can I say this? It's basically because black people don't like white people, and it's a double standard. How about that? I don't know. I don't know what the lottery ticket is. I'm sorry. I should have done my research. Another question from Bender Brow. Will Guitar Hero 6 be able to compete with Rock Band 3 and its realistic guitar, or will Rock Band 3 fail because kids are a bunch of lazy fucks who only focus on 6 buttons? Now that is an excellent question. I actually think, and I could be completely wrong on this, but I feel that, well, really the music games in general are dead. I don't think that people really care about them anymore. I think that they've kind of become like the Tony Hawk games of about 8 years ago. I mean, Tony Hawk games were the hottest thing around, and like you couldn't get enough of them, and they were a lot of fun, and you know you could play them casually, you could play them, you know, as a hardcore gamer. And then it just got to the point where the formula just got worn out to death. And I feel like the music games are going to go in that direction. I think they've already kind of fallen in that direction. But I don't think that Rock Band's guitar controller that's coming out, and if you haven't seen it, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's got like 800 buttons on it, and it's trying to mimic an actual guitar. I don't think that's the solution to fix the problem. I feel like it's a silly idea. I mean, you know, the formula's getting old, so let's add more buttons. I mean, if people wanted to play real guitar, wouldn't they play real guitar? I mean, there is a certain charm to just having the six buttons. And, you know, I know that the people that fucking play that game on expert have no problem with the six buttons, but I think casual people, I think the majority of the people that play Guitar Hero and Rock Band play it on the medium to hard settings, and they have hard enough time with these six buttons. So I don't believe that the Rock Band with its 800 button controller is going to help those people. I could be wrong, but I also don't think that either one of those games are going to be able to, you know, recapture the glory of the former glory of those two games. But we'll see. What do I know? I did read that in Guitar Hero 6 you're going to be able to play all of Rush's 2112 suite, which means I will buy the game. Because sitting in front of my PlayStation for 20 minutes playing one song somehow really appeals to me. I don't know why, I can't really explain it, but it really appeals to me. But good question nonetheless. Bender Bra also wants to know, are Jeep Wranglers gay? Are Jeep Wranglers gay? I would say that they are gay. They are actually, it's not widely known, but it's definitely talked about in select circles. But Jeep Wrangler are it's the premier car to take into a rest stop to blow a guy. They have optimum room in the back, so you can fit, you know, a couple of guys, a couple of wine coolers, and just crack them open and have yourself a hell of a time. So, yes, they, in fact, are gay. The Grand Cherokee is not gay, somehow. Don't know how that works, but it's just the way it is. Outhouse correspondent, The Ghost, El Ghosto, he would like to know, why does Bender bitch all the time? Bender referring to previous questionnaire, Bender Brow. He doesn't bitch all the time, I don't think. I think he's fairly, I don't know how to put it. He seems to be very content most of the time. He's a little snippy, but you need that. That's what makes the world go round. I'm certainly a little snippy. So, The Ghost, I don't know. I don't know what your deal is, buddy, but I disagree with you. Anyway, moving right along. Thunderstorm, Outhouse correspondent Thunderstorm, has another question. Why do people who say... Hold on, excuse me, I can't read. Why do people who say we should be tolerant and respectful of the beliefs of others, especially when they differ from our own, not tolerate or respect Nazis? Now, believe it or not, that is an excellent question, and I have an answer for you. It's because people want to talk about tolerance and respect and freedom of speech and all these things when it's convenient for them. You know, the thing is that, you know, people want to talk, you know, they want their cake and eat it too, you know. I talked about it on the show a couple of weeks ago when Goggs and I and Vinny talked about those, the West, I forget their names, the God Hates Fag Church, Westboro Baptist Church or something to that effect. And, you know, I hate those people. But at the same time, you know, as a proponent of freedom of speech, like, you have to let those idiots talk. I mean, that's just part of this country, and that's part of what makes this country great, I guess. I mean, it sucks that, you know, they spew hateful, you know, nonsense, and they're totally disrespectful of all people, but you know, you have to let people believe what they want to believe. Now, I guess with Nazis, you know, they did kill a lot of people. Their beliefs are directly tied into murdering people, so it's kind of hard to be tolerant of murder. So I don't know, and you don't really run into a lot of Nazis nowadays, so maybe it's a difficult question to answer. But you know, be a little kinder to the Nazis. They're probably really bent out of shape because they've been the bad guy in like every bad first person shooter for the last 25 years now, and they're probably just a little ticked off about it. I mean, you know, we did fight other wars. There was other people to fight. Most of them were German, but that's not, you know, that's not the point. Bender Brow would like to know, should Dr. Laura get fired for saying nigger? And he actually wrote it @@. What is that? Ampersand? Is that what the at symbol is? No, the ampersand is... Yeah, that's the ampersand, right? Or is that the N sign? I can't remember shit. That's been a long day, people. Should Dr. Laura get fired for saying the N-word? Of course not. She shouldn't get fired for it. She didn't say it. You know, it pains me to defend that stupid bitch because I hate her. She is a bore, and it makes me physically ill that she has 9 million listeners and I don't. She's terrible. She gives terrible advice. She calls herself Dr. Laura, but she has her doctorate in, like, physical education. And for those of you that don't know, she went on a radio show. Some caller asked about race relations or something. I believe the caller was dating a black guy and she was white, or vice versa. I don't remember. But she said something about, you know, race relations. Dr. Laura, that is, said something about race relations. Like, she said, it doesn't make any sense that, you know, you turn on HBO and black comedians are calling each other nigger. Like, it's you turn on the TV and it's nigger, nigger, nigger. And, you know, is that the worst thing ever? No, but she should have more sense than to say something like that on the radio. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like the Don Imus thing. You know, if she gets fired over it, I'm not going to lose any sleep because I absolutely hate her. But really, if you boil it down to what she said, it's not that bad. And she didn't even say it at someone. It would be different if, like, the caller called and pissed her off and she's like, "Fuck you, nigger." That would actually be infinitely a funnier story. But, you know, she used it. She used it in explaining that she doesn't understand the free use of the word. Now, it's a dumb argument anyway. Like, I don't know why white people are obsessed with the word. I mean, it's like, you know, I can't say the N-word. Well, who gives a fuck? Like, use another word. There's plenty of words out there. Like, why do you want to reclaim that word so bad anyway? Like, we're taking it back, I guess. I don't know. But no, Dr. Laura should not be fired for saying the N-word. She should be fired because she's talentless and awful. But people love her, so... And I just do a podcast, so what do I know? She's making millions of fucking dollars, and I slave away at a job I hate. Maybe I should just start calling people nigger, I don't know. The next question is, will Topo's mic work? No, Topo's mic did not work. That's why I'm recording this in my fucking camera. We'll see how this goes. Let's see. Outhouse correspondent the Ghost has to take another swipe at another Outhouse correspondent. Outhouse correspondent GLX. Reasons GLX may or may not be gay. A reason he may be gay is because he likes penis, and a reason that he might not be gay is because he likes the vagina. How about that? Since that, you know, the people outside of the Outhouse have no real input on who these people are, so that's why you go right through those. Go right through them. Just like that bad burrito I had yesterday went right through me. Timberoo would like to know, what does his finger smell like? Oak and class. That's what it smells like. Oak wood and classiness. Let's see here. What else do we got? The Ghost would also like to know why people worship Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, I believe. Okay. Sports question. Didn't expect that. People worship Matt Ryan because, basically, Atlanta lost their entire team with Michael Vick, and then they just happened to get a pretty decent quarterback. A quarterback that had a really good rookie year and an okay, sophomore slump, as they say, but he had a pretty decent second year. But he's pretty good. I mean, that team has to rally around somebody. And, I mean, really, I think that most football fans would agree that when Vic went down for what he did, I think everyone kind of assumed that, well, Atlanta's kind of fucked. I mean, I think when that whole thing went down with the dogfighting, I think Atlanta had just franchised him and signed him to a huge deal. So I think the reason they like Matt Ryan is because he's not actually horrible and there might be a future for him. I don't know. I never expected to get a football question from the outhouse, but Count D would like me to talk. Outhouse correspondent Count D would like me to talk about how to avoid lawsuits from human resources lawyers. Good question. I just don't talk to people at work. It's the best way to do it, and it's easy for me because, really, like, I work with a bunch of, like, old white people, so, like, I don't have any, like, cute girls to, like, Google or, you know what I mean? Like, they're all, like, way more offensive than me anyway. I mean, they, like I said on the last show, I mean, they talk, you know, about blacks and, like, you know, Mexicans, like, it's nothing. And they're like, oh, like, I don't know. So I guess two things count if you're trying to avoid a lawsuit from a human resource lawyer. One, find a job full of ignorant racists. You could do that, or you could just not talk to people. So there you go. You know, this is kind of like my Dr. Laura show. Like, I answer questions, I help people out, I give people half-assed advice. You know, maybe this is like the career for me, you know, the bucket of random that is this podcast. Benderbrow asks, which sexually confused outhouse member should Count D sleep with next? Again, a little inside, clearly he should sleep with me. It'd be the best story. It'd be incredibly funny, and obviously I'm way hot, so, you know, as you all know. So, next question. What else do we got here? Let's see here. Now I have to go to the next page, so you have to wait for me. Oh no. We're at about, let's see. I wonder when my camera's gonna die. Barry Lumpkin asks, if an egg can fit in there, why can't I? I don't know, and I don't get the reference. I'm sorry. Let's see here. Outhouse correspondent Prozac Man, and also avid listener of the show, he wanted to talk about his hate. And his hate being, the deep and emotional chorus for the song Airplanes has no business being in a song about a rapper complaining about being rich and famous. When I first heard the song, I thought the song was going to be about child abuse, a prostitute that couldn't get free from her pimp, or a woman of Afghanistan being brutalized. No, it's just a successful musician that wishes he could have his old job back at Subway. That's not sarcasm. He actually says that in the song. The song Airplanes, you probably heard it. Even if you don't like popular music, you've probably heard it. I've heard it like a million times. My girlfriend loves the song. It's got the chick from Paramore in it. She sings like the chorus, and she's like, really? She's like, can we just say that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? Like we lose wish right now, right now. Right, that's how it is. Go look it up on YouTube if you want to see it. Well, I don't know what I should really talk about. I mean, you know, Prozac Man's complaint is that it's about a rapper that's rapping about himself. That's my complaint with all rap. Isn't every rap song about the fucking rapper? That's why I hate that genre of music. How do you connect to something like that? Like, every song is like, oh, I got so much money, I'm fucking this bitch, I'm fucking this bitch. Like, tell a fucking story. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck about your personal life. Like, I know, but that's the problem with that whole genre of music. It's all tied into their personalities and their houses and all that nonsense. I mean, like, you know, if every Black Sabbath song was about fucking, like, Ozzy, like, being asleep, I don't think I'd listen to that. I mean, you know, there's, you know, Ozzy, like, drug songs like Sweet Leaf and Snowblind, but, you know, you have songs like, you know, Iron Man or Wheels of Confusion, you know, stuff that actually expresses like some kind of story or almost like a musical narrative, whereas rap music, I mean, there is that in rap music, but I'd say like popular rap music, it's all about, you know, who you are and how much money you make and all this other crap. So yeah, I guess I could play a little bit of the song. Well, I just sang it. Just look it up. It does have the chick from Paramore in it, and she's hot, so you got that. The ghost, again, would like to know, is the Outhouse Racist, the website, of course, the best comic book and geek website on the web, theouthousers.com. Is it racist? Of course not. Not at all. We just hate the N-words. No, it's not racist. The internet's racist. You give enough people ambiguity, and they're going to say racist shit because there's really no repercussion for them. Go to YouTube, look at half the shit that people say on there. So it's the internet's fault. It's not really the outhouse's fault. Bender Brow would like to know how gay is the name Marcus? It's very gay. Most gay porn stars that are in the business today are actually named Marcus in real life. I mean, you may know him as Rod Pumper or Johnny Fist, but their actual name is like Marcus, like Smith, or Marcus Johnson. And Marcus Johnson is actually one of the top performers in gay porn, actually, Marcus Q. Johnson. So, just like the Grand Cherokee, it's interesting that, you know, most of these questions revolve around gayness and hatred. So, I don't know, you make your own, draw your own parallels to that. Let's see what we got here. Then the ghost wants to know, why can't Benderbrow stop talking about me? Does he have an e-crush? Of course he does. Who doesn't? Count D would like me to talk about German Scheisse movies. I will give you an experience that I had with the German scat porn. Scheisse, of course, being the word in Deutsch for poop. One time I got sent this video from a friend of mine. He sent me an email because he thought it was really funny. Oddly enough, he actually was the same person that, like, he'd send me these videos from, like, brutalblowjobs.com, where these girls were just literally brutalized while they had a dick jammed in their mouth, and he's like, it's really funny, and it would just really bother me. But he'd send me this video one time from, you know, one of the horrible porn sites, like Consumption Junction or something to that effect, and it was this guy doing two girls, and he's doing it from behind, you know, and the one girl's just kind of, like, kissing him and, you know, stuff like that, while the other girl's, like, on all fours getting reamed out. And all of a sudden, like, he, like, pulls out, and he starts screaming something at her in some other, you know, weird white language. It wasn't in English. And all of a sudden, like, she just starts, like, pooping, like, spastically pooping. And it's just, like, it's really, really gross. And then without missing a beat, the friggin' dude, like, just goes right back in. You know, like, it didn't stop him at all. Like, and there was two thoughts that crossed my mind when I saw this. One, how bad does that set must smell? Or, you know, how awful a stench does a porn poop set have to smell? Like, it's got to be awful. And do you get grips to clean that up afterwards? I mean, do you have, like, a hose there in the bedroom ready to go to, like, wash everything off? And two, I can't imagine, like, you know, going to Browntown is hard enough. Banging a girl in the back door is a difficult task in itself. A lot of times it's harder to get your stuff in there. You know, it's hard to get a room at the Brown Hotel. And I can't imagine that poop would be a very cooperative lubricant. So that's what I thought about German Scheisse porn videos. Barry Lumpkin would like me to talk about my penis. It is short and fat. It is the George Costanza of genitalia, because it also hates itself. But somehow I have a girlfriend that seems to like it, so I guess it's okay. Let's see. Keb, Outhouse Correspondent Keb, wants me to talk about fire alarms. Okay, they help us be protected from fires. What's not to like? Thank you. Let's see. Timberoo would like to know how many ways there are to skin a cat. I don't know, but there's more than one. I did see a video on that actually happening one time. It was like one of the, like, faces of death, and man, it was just disturbing. I love cats. I can't see a poor little cat get killed and butchered. my cat now is destroying this little toy mouse that I had, and I couldn't skin her. She's too cute. I would totally lose my street cred if you guys knew how gay I was with my cat. I'm like, who's a kitty? You're a kitty. Oh, you're so cute. Anyway. The smell of my penis gets brought up. It smells delicious. I am very neurotic about my odor that comes off of me at all times, so I'm constantly showering and keeping things dry down there, so it smells probably like a very ritzy restaurant. Like, if you've ever been to, like, a very expensive, like, steak restaurant with, like, the nice candles and, you know, warm bread, that's probably what it smells like. Let's see what else we got. We might be about done. Another outhouse question. One of our favorite listeners and the master of the outhouse, Mr. Jude Terror, Benderbrow, wants to know what Jude's wife sees in him, or fiance, I believe. I mean, the same thing we all see in him. He's an amazing person, and he's probably, you know, got a rod like you wouldn't believe. He's got, you know, a rock and roll attitude about him, and he hosts one of the greatest websites ever. I mean, what's not to love? I almost want to marry the guy. So, there you go. That's what she sees in him. Let's see. Oh, Prozac Man would like to know how I'm doing with my living situation, because I haven't talked about any problems with pests or bugs or anything like that. I actually have moved. I moved about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and things are great. You know, I have a girl that sleeps here almost every night. I don't have any pests to worry about. House is really great. Everything's really great. Kind of makes for bad radio, actually, because everything's so good, but thank God, no more creepy crawlers. Everything's fine. Haven't seen not a one, so thank the fucking Lord. But anyway, thank God, because that shit was bad. I think that's about it for the questions. Going about a half hour. I wanted to talk real quick about Scott Pilgrim, and how I think it's interesting that I feel like the whole internet, like, wanted this movie to fail, and then everybody can't, you know, stop talking about the movie. And one of the people that I think is getting some unfair shrapnel in all this is Michael Cera. It seems like everybody's just piling on this guy, and I keep hearing the same thing, you know. Michael Cera, you know, he can't act, he plays the same character in every movie. Well, what I don't understand is that, I guess first of all, I love Scott Pilgrim. I talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago. I think it's a great movie. I think that the reason it didn't do well is because it's a hard movie to sell. And not to sound really pretentious, but it is going to sound pretentious, is it's insanely hard to sell a movie that's as different and stylistic as Scott Pilgrim is. People don't like that. They don't like to be challenged in any way. And not that this movie is challenging on an intellectual level. It's definitely challenging on a visual level. And people don't like that. By and large, that's why most experimental movies fail. I mean, you know, you could go down the line with great movies that just tanked at the box office. I mean, the Goggs' favorite movie, The Fountain. To me, that's one of the best movies in the last 20 years. That movie did nothing in the box office. It did terrible. A movie like Fight Club, which kind of, in my opinion, cemented David Fincher as a good director. That movie did poorly, and a lot of people are surprised to hear that. They're like, oh, I love Fight Club. Like, everybody liked Fight Club, but no, it did very poorly in the theater. It was a big hit on DVD. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. I love Scott Pilgrim. Thought it was great. I thought Michael Cera did a good job. Man, I'm tired. But people keep saying, you know, Michael Cera, he can't act. He plays the same character. But here's the question I'm going to leave with you guys. What actor out there plays wildly different characters in every movie? Think about that for a second. What actor goes out there and is, like, completely different from every role? Isn't an actor sort of like any other artist, where they have kind of their traits and their trademarks and their kind of mannerisms? I mean, you know, to keep using Black Sabbath as a basis, you know, Black Sabbath, you're going to have a definitive sound that's going to slightly change with every album, but there's still a sound that's been developed that's the reason why you like the band. I mean, is it not the same for an artist, like an illustrator or a painter? They have a style that they've cultivated, and that's what they do. So how is an actor any different? And I mean, you know, it's partially the roles that Michael Cera's in, but at the same time, you know, look at the guy. He's not going to be your dashing leading man. You know what I mean? He's young. He's kind of nerdy looking, so he's going to get cast as the, you know, the goofy, nerdy looking guy. And I think he does a fair enough job with what he's given. I thought he did. I didn't think he played the same character as he does. And I don't think that his character in Superbad is the same as Scott Pilgrim. I don't. I think that they're different characters entirely. And I think that it's unfair to keep saying, oh, you know, he's the same guy in every movie. I just, I don't know. I can't believe I'm defending him, but, you know, this is how I see it. You know, it also doesn't help, you know, I guess, like, he was the main star of this movie, and Scott Pilgrim, you know, an ensemble cast, but he's the biggest name. So people are saying, well, this is his movie. Well, I mean, while he has a little bit of notoriety, it's unfair to say that guy's gonna draw. You know, Michael Cera is not Leonardo DiCaprio. You know what I mean? And I just think it's unfair. You know, people say, well, I read some article that said, well, you know, Michael Cera's movies have done poorly ever since Superbad. Well, that's not his fault, necessarily. I mean, think about the movies that kid's been in since Superbad. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist? That movie was fucking terrible. You could have put fucking Cary Grant in that. You could have put fucking Marlon Brando in his prime. You took a time machine, put Marlon Brando in Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, and that movie still would have sucked. That wasn't his fault. It was just a terrible movie. Kid's gotta work. You know? But I don't know why people hate that guy so much. I mean, if anything, like, you know, guys like Michael Cera and Seth Rogen, you know, I kind of like those guys. I kind of pull for those guys, like Jonah Hill. Because, like, I just think, like, when I watch a movie, like, with people like them in it, it's like, oh, they're kind of like me. You know, as silly as that sounds. Like, I can't really relate to what George Clooney's like in real life. But I can probably relate to what Michael Cera and Jonah Hill are like in real life. Because, you know, part of their appeal to me is that they seem like regular people. And that's the roles that they take as well. I mean, you know, Superbad is a good movie because, you know, it's something that I think every, you know, guy that's been through, you know, wanting to get laid really bad has gone through. And I think that the reason that Sarah works in Scott Pilgrim is because, you know, strip away all the crazy video game-ness of Scott Pilgrim, and it's really just about a guy that's obsessed with a girl who has a lot of baggage, and then he's constantly, you know, everyone fights with someone's, in a relationship, everyone fights with the past between the two people. And, you know, how many times have you been out on a date and you meet your girlfriend's ex, but like, well, he's so great, you know, he does this and that, and you're constantly comparing yourself to him. And that's, you know, that's basically, like, there's a great scene in Scott Pilgrim where Scott Pilgrim has a bass guitar battle with one of the evil exes. And it's such a great, like, metaphor for how guys are, because it's just like, well, he plays bass, well, I bet you I play better bass than him, because that's what guys do. I mean, it's constant, like, one-upmanship, you know. And I think that's why, you know, again, why Michael Cera works as Scott Pilgrim, because Scott Pilgrim he's a little bit more cocksure than any of Michael Cera's characters from the past, but he definitely still has his insecurities. And he's not this dashing, debonair guy. So I think that the whole movie was cast well, and I think, you know, Scott Pilgrim was cast well as Michael Cera. I think he did a great job. I think that movie is going to be something that, I think that's something that people are really going to pick up on once it hits the home markets, you know, once it gets to Blu-ray and DVD. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't really care either way because I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I mean, you know, just looking at my Blu-ray shelf now, I mean, I really liked Watchmen. A lot of people didn't like that. I mean, I liked Punisher Warzone, which admittedly was a stupid movie, but I loved it. I thought it was fun as hell. You know, honestly, I try not to get caught up in all this talk about box office and what a movie does and doesn't do. As long as the movie's good, I don't really care. I mean, yeah, you know, Eat, Pray, Love beat it. It's okay. You know, The Expendables beat it, which I still haven't seen yet. That's fine, but I'm not a producer on the movie. I have no real vested interest in how a film performs financially. And I don't know, I mean, I guess I know exactly why fanboys get caught up in all this stuff. It's because we have too much time on our hands and too much information at our fingertips. You know, back when we were kids, back when I was a kid, you know, a movie did well. You maybe heard their numbers, like, on the news or whatever, like, when they said the tops at the movies, but you didn't really keep a running tab of it. And now everything is on the internet, like, and available in, like, 3 seconds. So, like, that's where all this, like, competition comes from, because, you know, we sit there at our computers all day and we have all this information, so you have to, like, funnel it into something. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it all becomes, like, this kind of giant game. Well, this does this, this does this. It's like, I have all this information to apply, but what am I going to apply it to? But anyway, that's going to be about it, because I'm really scared this whole time that my camera's going to cut off. But I hope you enjoyed the show. A little bit different than the usual show. We'll be back next week with a full cast. And this has been your pal, Al Topo. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, write your local senator. I don't know. Love you guys. We'll see you later. Bye. Run like